We're launching, as it were, with Psalm 90. 2 weeks ago, and Kulu preached about six things to get your life on track this year, six points to help you. And it's my job to take us further looking at Psalm 90. Yes, you can turn there. We started last week with it, and it's entitled A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Well, if anyone shines as a man of God in history, Moses is one of them, and there are three big religious groups who see him as a great prophet. We've got the Christians, the Jews, and Islam, who all think of Moses as a great prophet. But here it says he's the man of God, a man commissioned by God, sent by God, called of God, blessed of God. All of that comes into that phrase. And the interesting thing is it's a prayer of Moses. We have a prayer recorded. There are one or two of his prayers recorded in Deuteronomy, Exodus, some of his moments of prayer. But here we have potentially the oldest psalm. I don't know of any psalmist who was of previous history to Moses. So here we have potentially the oldest psalm. And we started studying it last week and we got up to verse 12. And I don't want to do a big recap. I did extensive teaching through or exposition through those first 12 verses. And we looked at Moses warming up to prayer. And this is an important point for our prayers. Oftentimes you start in prayer with theology. You start by stating who God is, what he means to you, what he's like, what he's done in your life, before you get to the moment of petition, which is exactly what Moses does here in the psalm. And we find that pattern in many of the psalms. You find David proclaiming who God is and what he's like to him and what he means to him and how he's been to Israel and all the wars he's helped them in and the history he's brought them through, which brings me to the point, Lord, I find myself in the desert, and now I call on you, and he starts to pray. And there's nothing wrong with us following that pattern. It's a good pattern for us to be in a place where we say, now, Lord, I was in a lost place, and then I discovered you as Savior, and then this is what you've meant to me, and I discovered that your word says in Matthew chapter 5 or 6 that it says this, and now I come to you with my plea this morning or this evening or whenever it might be that you're praying. It's a good pattern for us to note and to practice. And so we see this here. Moses, the man of God, that's how he prays. He talks about who God is. Wonderful in verse 1, that he has been our dwelling place, our home, our place of security, our place of rest. Wonderful thing to just proclaim theologically before you get to prayer. Lord, you are my dwelling place. It's in you I find my identity. It's in you I find my life. It's in you I find my security. I'm trusting you for life's issues. I'm not trusting in my bank balance. I'm not trusting in my family heritage. I'm not trusting in what's going on in our nation. I'm not trusting in the fact that I've got a passport of another nation. I'm trusting in you, Lord God. I'm trusting you are my dwelling place. You are my refuge. I'm looking to you. Moses starts off in that place. Talks about the transitory nature of human life. How brief our life is on earth, that we return to dust quickly, that it's like a watch in the night. We can get swept away with a flood. Talks about that in the psalm. And then he gets to the point in verse 12, to fast forward. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And that's where we ended last week. And we followed through with a verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writing to the Ephesians says that this life and this earth, the days are evil. So we must make the best use of our time, that we might find the will of God, the will of God. The will of God comes in two basic forms. There's the general will for every believer, and then there's this specific will for your life. Now, this Wednesday, we're going to fast and pray together as a community. It may be that you've never taken a day to fast and pray, and you want to join us. How does it work? Tuesday night, you eat your meal, and then on Wednesday, you wake up and you have water during the day, until we gather in the evening for prayer. And we go into that children facility there probably on Wednesday night. And we call in the name of the Lord together along the lines of this psalm. We're going to be praying verse 12. We're going to be asking the Lord to teach us. It's not an instinctual thing necessarily to number our days aright. Our tendency is to drift from God's purposes when left to our own devices. We need to come to him. We need to say, Lord, teach me. My life is precious. My days are short. Your word says that. It's like fleeting. It's like a shadow. It's like grass that's green in the morning and withers by the evening. It's like the flower that's there for a day. All those images are used to describe how brief our life is on earth. And we want to use it well. And so we want to ask him to teach us to number our days aright. What season am I in, Lord? What should I be doing with my time? My recreational time too. Some people think that's off limits to God. You know, there's an hour on Sunday which is devoted to God. And if he doesn't use it well, well, what can I do about it? That's some people's attitude, you know. And perhaps I'll give him a Tuesday night too. Home group night, you know, I will. We'll allow him to work in that space. And if he doesn't work in that space, what can I do about it? No, it's the other way around. He gets everything. Those are just moments to be equipped, to be challenged, to be fed by the word, so that 24/7 we can be those who serve the Lord, who seek him, serve his purposes. Now, I'm not saying you can't have recreational time. I'm just saying don't let it be something which is just totally in your domain and God has no access to it. That is time of refreshing for you, time of restoration for you. You need to allow the Lord to speak into every area of your life. Just throwing that out there to help you. So we want him to teach us, and that's what we're going to be praying on Wednesday as we take a day of prayer and fasting. And we're asking that he would show us how to number our days aright. Not that we would know the number of them. It's not a figure we're trying to come up with. It's that we would utilize our days well. There's grace for every day, I believe. And we want to utilize our time well on this earth. And then it goes on to say, uses this phrase, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Not that we would know the six things we have to diligently do in order to, that we would gain a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. I'm not referring to Nkulu's six things. I'm just talking about the fact that some people are regimented in the way they approach things, while Moses here is saying, we want a heart of wisdom, which Nkulu certainly seeks to have. A heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. A heart to know God's ways. And so we want him to teach us to work in our hearts, that we would know how to respond in different circumstances and how to use our time well, how to live. It may even be that the Lord wants to speak to some to change their career, to change their path, to go on a new adventure with him. Start a ministry to develop a skill or a gifting which he's placed within you that he wants to bring to the fore in his kingdom. It may just be. It may just be that in some of you is lying dormant something God put there which he wants to activate. Maybe there's a leadership gift within you. Maybe there's a worshiping gift within you. Maybe there's a, I don't know. But what we want to do is seek him and say, Lord, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We might live in this. Maybe he wants you to shed some things in your life. Maybe you're overcommitted to all sorts of activities and you never have time to just be in God's presence. Never have time just to serve him or just to be quiet or to be with family or to be with, I don't know. Maybe he wants you to shed some things. But what we want to do on Wednesday is just take that day and say, Lord, teach us, show us. Perhaps for some, he's going to show you from his word as you give time on Wednesday to just reading the word. Saying, Lord, speak to me. Show me what your scriptures say. You'll have a whole lunchtime and a whole breakfast time. You're not preparing food to just seek the Lord, read the word. Say, God, what are you speaking to me? What are you saying? What must I do with my life? Teach me. So that's where we're going on Wednesday. Now, it remains to look at these verses which follow, because now that Moses is developed his theological theme and he's got to the place of prayer. Verse 13 says, return, O Lord. How long is this cry? How long, Lord? How long? I need you, is his plea. Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. That English phrase, steadfast love, is translating the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed, some might say, but it's chesed, I believe. It's a word for love, which doesn't describe, there's I think 7 words in Hebrew for love, 5 in Greek, 3 in the New Testament. So not all 5 Greek words are used in the New Testament. But this word for love, chesed love, has no equal in English. So the New American Standard translates it as thy loving kindness. It uses that phrase, thy loving kindness, from which we get that song. Here the ESV has gone for steadfast love. Other versions use different. It's that covenantal love that is spoken of here. This is the love which is expressed when you get married, or this is the love which is expressed when you form a covenant. It's not used to describe other things. In Proverbs, where it says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, that word for friend, there are two different words for friend in Hebrew. It's a word for one who is an acquaintance and one who is a covenantal friend. A covenantal friend sticks closer than a brother. Not just any friend. You don't go use that verse, well, there's a friend. It may apply to Jesus for some in their preaching, but it's used in many other instances in the Bible. But there are words specifically chosen to describe covenant and covenantal love. And it's that kind of love that Moses is appealing to here. So that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your covenant love, your chesed love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We need the covenant to underhold, to underpin rather, to lift us up, cover us, etc. Make us glad for as many days as we've been afflicted. Could be Moses reflecting on their time in Egypt. Could be Moses reflecting on their desert wanderings. I'm not entirely sure. And as for as many years as we have seen evil, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Now we come to the second verse, which I really want us to be focusing on Wednesday. It says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So that phrase is repeated, establish the work of our hands, as we're hoping to receive the favor of the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about that. My hope this morning is to encourage people to be fasting and praying with us. My hope this morning is that as I speak, God puts faith in your heart that as we call on the Lord on Wednesday, he's going to do some things with that time of prayer. You might say, well, why do we need to fast? Truly, God knows what we need. Well, why do we need to pray? Well, why do we need to come to church? He has set it in motion that we would be a people who do this. In fact, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, a time when he was speaking to his disciples, he went up on a certain mountainside. It's described in Matthew 5 and 6. It's described in Luke chapter 6 and 7, I think it is. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. And he says, when you fast, this is how you should fast. Now, the anticipation of that verse is that not if we fast, but when we fast. There would be times and seasons when we would give ourselves to fasting. In fact, there have been wonderful moments in history when nations have given themselves to fasting. In America, they've had, in their early days, because you know the founding fathers of America, I think of the 50 founding fathers, I think 49 of them had studied theology. So no wonder that nation had been blessed in so many ways. And they gave themselves to national fasts. Presidents called fasts. Abraham Lincoln called one or two fasts for their nation. The same has happened in England. It's no wonder that that nation has been blessed in so many ways. I read you something from John Wesley's diary as he talks about a national fast they had in England. The fast day was a glorious day, such as London has scarce seen since the Restoration. Every church in the city was more than full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Surely God heareth prayer, and there will yet be a lengthening of our tranquility. Humility was turned into national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted. Imagine a nation calling out to God for things. We've had experience of that in our nation, where we called out to God at the time of transition, from the years of apartheid, dark years that they were, into a democratic nation. People prayed with earnestness at that time, and I believe potential great bloodshed was averted in that season. Michael Cassidy's written a book about that. But there are other nations that have called out in that kind of way, and there are churches that have faced circumstances and seasons where they, in need, we as a church have had moments where we've set aside days, we've said, Lord, we need you now. Be it for finances in the past or whatever it was that we were crying out for. This is not a fast where we're crying out for that need. This is a fast where we're saying, Lord, teach us to number our days aright And we're asking for God's favor upon the things that we do with our hands, the work that we do. We're trusting for Him to bless us. That the work we give ourselves to, be it our spiritual work, ministry-wise, leading a home group, preaching, loving, caring, witnessing, our service to the poor, whatever it might be, we're asking that it would not be just wasted time. You know, there are a number of verses in the Bible which talk about people giving their days away in vain. I want to read to you what it says in Psalm 127, one of the Psalms of Ascent. Beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. And as I read it, you'll be reminded of it, most of you. It says this, Psalm 127. It is a song of ascent of Solomon. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Now, you remember Solomon built the temple. All right, it's the Psalm of Solomon. You remember that David wanted to build the temple, and God wouldn't allow him because his hands had shed blood, it says. But he prepares a whole lot of stuff for his son to build the temple. Solomon gets to build it, and Solomon is able to say this. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You can't build God's house without His blessing upon it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We can do what we want about safety and security, but we need God. We need God. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Some people can get into that feverish place. How will I provide for my family? I don't have any retirement fund. I don't have this, I don't have that. Yeah, and you get feverish about it with anxious toil. The answer doesn't lie there. Of course, we need to be diligent. The Proverbs talks on many occasions about us being diligent. I'm not talking about laziness. That's not what I'm addressing this morning. I'm addressing this thing that unless God is involved as well, once you are diligent and you're doing what you should be doing for God, doing what you should be doing career-wise, then you don't want to be in anxious toil. You want to be in the presence of God, knowing that you've given what you can, and then you trust in God. Eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. For He gives to His beloved sleep. So we're asking on Wednesday, we're saying, Lord, this is where I find myself. This is the career I find myself in. I want to serve You. I want to serve You well. But I want the blessing and favor, Your touch and anointing upon the things I give myself to, so that it's not empty and wasted time. It can be like that for many people, that they waste days, years of their life away, anxious, fretting, sweating, and not doing it in a place where God is blessing what they are doing. And so this Psalm 127 talks about that. And there are four things which it says God does. One, He builds the house. Two, He watches. Three, He feeds. And four, He gives sleep. So you might say to me, give us some direction for Wednesday's prayer. Go to Psalm 127 and start to pray for those four things. So Lord, I want You to be building. I want You to be the one watching over, protecting. I want You to be the one who feeds, who provides. Although I'm working, I want You to bless it. And then I want You to give me sleep, to give me rest, so that I don't end up being worn out, depressed, fretting, anxious. I say that depression is a growing disease. It may just be that now they diagnose it more readily. I'm not sure, but it's also quite possible that the stresses and tensions and strains on people's lives are so much more in the world that we're living in. What we want is the rest of God. Have you ever had your sleep disturbed? I'm not talking about caffeine. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about, how's this thing going to work out in my life? How's that thing? In fact, the cause of much disease is anxiety and stress. And what does Philippians say? It says, do not be anxious about anything. Anyone ever disobeyed that scripture? Do not worry. It's sin. Oh, I've also committed that sin. I'm sorry, Lord. So this is what we want to do on Wednesday as a community. There'll be others together in concert, wherever we are in the city together. We'll be praying for each other, and we'll be praying for those in the church, all of us. And we'll be praying, Lord, help us to number our days aright and bless the work of our hands. Some of you have started businesses. You're trusting for contracts. You're trusting for those things to flourish. You're trusting to find the right person to partner with to do your website. You're trusting for All sorts of things you're trusting for. We're about to launch this mill cafe. We need to employ people in it. We need to glass it in and do the work. And we've just signed two people in upstairs who are going to be renting a little kitchen upstairs, and they're going to be involved making chocolates here on site. And I'm looking for others to put in to the space as well that will go well with Mill Cafe. We're trusting for the Lord to lead us to the right people to do things. That's what we're doing on Wednesday together. So there are a number of texts which talk like Psalm 127. You can follow the links. Surely you've got something on your smartphone or your computer where you can just click on "In vain you rise early." There are a number of texts which talk about how we do things in vain. Some people trust in vain in their own strength and abilities or their own cunning. There's a verse which says, you trust in your own cunning. It's vanity. We need to trust in the wisdom of the Lord, not in our own abilities. And so I'm not saying that God hasn't gifted you and placed you in your career because that's what he's called you to, and so he's going to bless that. That's great. But if you lean entirely on your own understanding, there's a verse that talks about that. If you're leaning entirely on your own capacities and strengths, staff team, capital backing, whatever it might be, Psalm 127 says to us, unless the Lord builds, unless the Lord watches, we need him to feed and we need him to give sleep. So that's what we're going to be giving ourselves to as we fast and pray on Wednesday. We're looking for favor. There's that word used there. Favor. We want the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. There's a verse which talks about David, that wherever he went, the Lord gave him success with whatever he put his hands to. An amazing verse. I love that verse when I see it, because I think I've had some seasons like that where things I put my hand to have been blessed. I also look at that verse and I think, God, I want that for every portion and season of my life, because I've had some seasons where I've been disobedient to God, knowing I should be doing this or sinning in certain ways, and just feeling like I'm a little bit hemmed in, not because of God, but because of who Andrew Thompson has become. So what I'm asking you to do on Wednesdays as we commit the day to the Lord, we're saying, Lord, show me if there's some things which have just tied your hands a bit in my life, because I need to shed some things. Weights or sins, as the book of Hebrews describes them. We must put behind us every weight and every sin. Let them go. Find out what God's will is for your life and pursue that. There's no safer place to be. There's no place of greater peace than being in the center of God's will for your life. There you find joy. There you find fullness. There you find maybe hard work there, but it's blessed hard work. Maybe difficult times there, but it's blessed by God there. Maybe also seasons like David, everything you go and put your hand to. So you can go and look for that verse and go and see if there's some connected verses with that. Other people who were blessed in similar ways, like David. So here we've looked at the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Last week was a little bit more exposition, going through it verse by verse up to verse 12. This morning, what I've been aiming at is to instill faith. I'm trusting that in your hearts there's a growing sense of, great, we're committing ourselves to this day on Wednesday. We're going to do it together, and we're going to seek his face so that he would give us a heart of wisdom to know his ways, so we can number our days aright, and that he would bless the work of our hands, that we would shed things he wants us to shed in our life and choose those things which he's called us to focus on, that we might find ourselves in the center of his will. There can be storm all around you. If you're in the center of God's will, you'll be protected, I'm telling you. There you will find joy and peace. Who doesn't want to live with peace? Who doesn't want to live with a sense of God's watching over, God's bringing ease, the oil of his grace and anointing? And so we want to live in that place. Thinking how I should end this, I've said pretty much all that I want to say. I'll just look at my clock so that I can say, well done, Andrew. We finished early this morning. Isn't that nice? Now, put this in the memory bank so that later in the year, when I go a little over time, you're not angry with me because you say, you know what, there was that Sunday when he finished early. Psalm 90, Psalm 127. Tuesday night, you have your last meal, and you wake up on Wednesday thinking, I didn't even have to set this day. It was set for me by the leaders of the church. This is awesome. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm drinking water all day. We're going to gather for prayer in the evening, and they're going to lead us to pray for these different things and to pray for each other so that we can find the wisdom of God for our lives and call on Him for blessing and favor on the work of our hands.